To 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I texted Nate during the week to make sure that his message and mine didn't have exactly the same theme, and turns out a lot of the verses he was going to use, I was going to use anyway, so it never works. It never works out the way you want. Now, we've got plenty of verses to go around. But this reminds me of some of the verses he went over. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. And 17, and these have been kind of sticking in my mind lately. Sometimes, I don't know if it's like this for you, but there'll be a verse or two that kind of just keep coursing through your mind. You sort of meditate on it, and you think, man, that is so cool how that sounds. It just ministers to you and comforts you and brings that peace that Nate talked about this morning. And that's what these verses have been doing for me. Reminds me a lot of those first few verses in each epistle that Paul writes, where he says, God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ are doing this on your behalf. And that's kind of repeated in these two verses here, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let's have a word of prayer. And Father, I am so grateful for the time we have that we can open your word and do so without any opposition. Without having the government come in and tell us what we can and can't do. We don't have to hide what we're doing. It's really an amazing thing that in our country we're able to do that. May it be so for a long time to come, even though there's lots of pressures pushing against that. But I pray that as long as we do have time to preach your word without any distractions, we do so boldly and confidently and with just great joy. Understanding what we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to do all these things in His name. It's His name we pray. Amen. Well, that titled my message, Comfort in a Present Evil World. So I want you to take that idea that we just read there about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And I noticed it didn't say the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say there in verse 16? It says, our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought that just is so cool. It just struck me that He's ours. He's been given to us. He was put on that cross on our behalf. And Bernice has mentioned that as she was talking to Nate afterwards. He was put there on our behalf. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation, good hope through grace. I encourage you to memorize these two verses because really, as I go through the week and I get in a tough situation at school, I'll just stop and think, no, our Lord Jesus Christ and God, our Father, everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Because there's times I don't feel like it. When I'm there with the kids at school, it's like, oh man, I was having a problem last week. And it's every day something comes up. And some days go better than others. You think, man, it's just amazing when it does go well. And when it's not going well, it's kind of often. And it's like, well, I had these two kids. I was trying to teach a lesson. There's this conflict going on in the back of the room. And it just got out of control. And I said, what is going on back there outside right now? And so we walk out. And we're standing, I started saying, we don't talk to our classmates like that. I turned, who's standing there? The principal's standing right there. Oh, man. And he's very calm. He's a Christian man. His parents are, when he was 10, his parents said, we're going to Chile. You're coming with us. We're going to be missionaries. He said, what? So his whole life was changed because of that. So he understands what it means to go through situations. He saw me going through this. And he says, I'll take your class while you deal with this. So he walked in, and I dealt with it, and fortunately, one of the kids is a Christian. She was upset. And I said, look, Christ didn't forgive us, didn't he? Can't you forgive? Yeah, I can forgive. Okay, good. Whew. Back to normal. Back inside. Principal up. Didn't get in trouble. I was pretty surprised. But it was just one of those weeks where things come up and you just think, you know what? How can I feel comfort when I'm in the middle of a situation with these kids? When you are in the situations you're in? When we have people in our own assembly who are going through some really tough situations financially? Your health, serious health issues that we mentioned beforehand. Where does that come from? I want you to look at Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 3. If you're thinking about how does our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and work in the midst of all that we're going through. And you read things like Galatians 1, and sometimes I'll remind my family about this verse, and we kind of laugh at each other because we have certain verses we kind of focus on and kind of I don't want to say tease, but sort of remind each other of, in case he says, I know. And she'll say things to me, I'll say, I know. And just kind of, you're trying to remind each other of what we're going through and the mindset that we should have and how we can be comforted in this present evil world. And that's what Paul calls it in Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from, here it is, this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. There's just so many things, just as Mr. Nate mentioned this morning, so many distractions out there. And how do you not let that get you off track? How do you not let that keep you from understanding who you are in Christ, who God has made you to be in Christ? Well, there's a lot of aspects to that, and I want to go over just a few of those this morning. But that you would understand how it is that our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even our Father, is able to comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and work. That we wouldn't get off track. We'd understand what it means to live under grace and not under the law. Well, during this past week also, I was playing John Henry. Does that poem sound familiar to you? John Henry against the steam drill. And he works so hard that he beats the steam drill, but then he dies. They bury him in the sand. And a kid after it was over said, I don't want to die. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting how that came out. I don't want to die. And a kid next to her said, when you die, you just become a spirit. I'm like, wow, where'd that come from? All these little things popping up here and there. And I thought, you know, you don't become a spirit. You have a spirit already. It's dead. The problem is you need to have your spirit and the Holy Spirit in you. So I was thinking about that and what I could say. And nothing really came of that. But it reminded me of a conversation I had with little Belin. She's a cute girl, seventh grader. She and I were having this conversation, and she was struggling with some things. And towards the end of one of our periods, she was talking about, just spiritual things. And I said, "Well, have you ever thought about?" It was like 2-minute conversation. Sometimes we're clean up. I'll get clean up now, and I'll get in this little conversational path, and I'll start being able to share the gospel with the kid. It's kind of cool. And so I was showing her just real quick some verses about, "Hey, Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again." Yeah, I understand. And just before it was time to say, it's time to go now, I said, I got to ask you one more question, Glenn. If you were to die today, how do you know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord? Guess what came out of her mouth? Be a good person. I'm like, oh. It was just interesting how that reflex is so strong in an unsaved man when your heart is dark and you don't get it. And so I've kind of been working on it ever since then, but it was just amazing to me how to have a real clear conversation. Yeah, Christ. Yeah, I understand. You have to trust Christ only. Christ alone. Faith in His blood alone. Yeah, I get it. Be a good person. It's like, wow, that was fast. It was like literally 15 seconds after we just gotten done talking about it. So it's something that not only in our own minds, but in unsaved people as well, when we're witnessing the people and people in our family, our friends at work, it's a constant grind, isn't it? You just got to keep going over these things over and over. That's why Paul says it's safe to remind the people in the local assembly about these things. So you have to remind yourself about it as well. Your mind is, your flesh is constantly going the wrong direction. You got to get your mind, renew your mind day by day so you're pointing it back in the right direction, back to the grace of God. So, we talk about giving salvation messages and the like. We do that pretty much every Sunday, it seems like. Look at Romans 3:19. If you take a look at the state of the world, that's what I appreciate about reading through the zone is that you see that nation of Israel and how many chances they had to get it right, and they're constantly getting it wrong. And yet they'd often come back and see the error of their ways, and they'd get a king in place who would do that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he'd get them back on track. And yet they'd seem to be going downhill. It's like they're up here and then down. They're slowly kind of doing this all the way down, and they hit rock bottom when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That fifth cycle of chastisement when the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene and just shows them once for all, they're not going to accept Him. Things have gotten to the worst point ever. And then the next thing you know, it should have been, according to the prophetic timeline, should have been judgment, should it not? Yet instead, what does God do? He comes and saves the Apostle Paul. But just before that, Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become what? guilty before God. Before he saved the Apostle Paul, I'm sure Satan thought, I got him right where I want him. Everybody's guilty. Yes! And God says, I got him right where I want him too. Watch what I'm going to do next. Boom! Saves the Apostle Paul. Satan's like, say what? What happened? God institutes this amazing program where he's able to take people that are guilty before him, and because of what he did on their behalf, is able to make them something amazing. And that's the message that we preach. Oftentimes I'll take kids to Revelation 21, for example. I know there's enough Catholics in the group that I deal with, Revelation 21. The entire world's guilty. I think people know that. They sense that. They try to talk themselves out of that. They get to Revelation 21 verse 8. Things like this really kind of shake them up sometimes. Revelation 21 verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part where? In the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that kind of scares people. And it's meant to scare people. Meant to get you thinking, you know what? I don't have what it takes to be right in the eyes of the Lord. That there is a judgment coming. And I'd be part of that. If I died, I know for sure I wouldn't make it past that judgment. And so we know in this assembly that the comfort we have, part of the comfort is that we're saved from that, aren't we? From the penalty of our sin. That when we share the gospel with people, we know in our heart, we believe that. The verses on the page say that we have been saved from that. We are no longer in that position. We have been made one with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given eternal life. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings. But we want to see other people understand that. And so when we share that with them, we can impart some of that comfort that we have. So part of the comfort we have that comforts our hearts and establishes us in every good word and work is knowing that we have this initial thing we call salvation. Getting saved is kind of the phrase that we use. Look at Psalm verse 130. We know that the false notion that the world puts out there that somehow if you're a good enough person, as Belen said, be a good person. We know how false and how subtle of a lie that is. And there's no comfort in that at all. Look at Psalm 130 verse 3 and 4. Psalm 130 verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Galatians 3:10, James 2:10 says, if you keep all of the law and make even one error, what's the problem? You're guilty of all of it. Where's the comfort in that? That law back there in Romans 3 says that the law was brought in so that all the world would become justified before God? No. All the world would become guilty before God. Guilty as charged. There's no comfort in that. But when you go back to Romans 3, fortunately the story doesn't end there. The whole world is coming guilty before God. But you go back to Romans 3 again. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, and Paul uses those words often, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through what? Faith in His blood. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And that was that point I was trying to get across to Belen, saying, look, you don't have what it takes to make it into heaven. If you were to die, you'd go to hell for sure. Yeah, I got it.
But God will justify you Himself by faith in His precious Son, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in that, and that will pay for every single sin in yours, past, present, and future. You can have the righteousness of God given to you. The righteousness that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ is imparted to you if you have faith in His blood. So how are you getting ahead and be a good person? It just kind of cracked me up when that happened. But that's where we keep pushing that over and over. And when we are able to see someone else come to understand that and see the comfort that they can have in their heart, knowing, you know what, my sins can be forgiven 100%, past, present, and future, by trust in the blood of Christ, and they get to see that comfort, then they get to have that same feeling we first had. I remember when, it seems like when I was a kid, I went to a Baptist church. So like every Sunday, they give a salvation message. Real, you know, kind of, I don't know if watered down is the word, or just confused, I guess. But I found myself, you know, they have you close your eyes in the privacy of your heart, own heart, raise your hand. I was raising my hand every Sunday, looking for salvation. I just didn't get it. I didn't understand the blood of Christ paid for everything. You say, come out of those other denominations, you just start so confused. And when you finally hear the gospel the first time, the blood of Christ pays for everything, and God will give you His righteousness, eternal life, everything you need to get to heaven and be with Him. It's like, wow, whew, that's comforting. That brings peace to your heart, like Nate was saying. And when you have that, then you can start to preach that message to other people. He died the just for the unjust, 1 Peter 3:18 says. Hebrews 9:26, He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He wasn't a martyr, He was a sacrifice. The blood of Christ paid for my sins. That's very comforting. Now, after we get saved and other people become saved, we try to minister to them and help them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing I've found as you grow and you try to study, try to help other people understand things, you start to recognize your individual responsibility after you're saved. We're going to take a look at 2 Timothy 2:15 and Colossians 3, 2 Timothy 2:15. There's a lot of individual responsibility, is there not, as a member of the body of Christ? You're kind of as a member of the body of Christ, you're instructed in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The name of our assembly is called Berean Bible Ministries. The Bereans study their Bibles how often? Daily. The inner man is renewed how often? Day by day. You get the idea, you should be studying, meditating on these things each day, right? Not just waiting until Sunday. Each day you're thinking about these things, meditating upon them. And where does that comfort come from? Well, as you're studying, and as you see in Colossians 3, it tells you all these things you're supposed to put off, put on. There's a lot of temptations out there in the world, a lot of distractions. And Paul says, you know what? Here's what you do with all that. The things you do in Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at verse 7, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now put off all these. Also put off all these. Put off all anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So put off all that stuff, and then do what? In verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Verse 12, put on these things. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So you've got all these things that you individually need to be thinking about. Studying, putting things off, putting them on. 2 Corinthians 10, you've got things in your mind. You make these decisions in your mind. You want to make it with clear thinking. It's part of what Denise has been talking about, trying to figure out what's the best path to take. And there's no easy answer for a treatment for her daughter. What's the best approach the doctor should take in Melissa's case? No one knows 100%. And where does comfort come from at times like that? Well, the grace of God is sufficient for us, is it not? And when you're in those tough times, you just have to stop and say, you know what? Grace of God is sufficient for me. No matter what I'm going through, God's grace is sufficient. Got Paul through all those problems he had. Get me through mine too, maybe. I think it can. Sometimes in your mind, though, you get these things going through your mind. You've got to try to push through those and look through to what God wants you to focus on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For we, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You ever thought about how many things go through your mind during the day? If you had to count them, probably lose track. He says, bringing into captivity how many thoughts? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's amazing. That's the volume of that just for you personally is pretty amazing. Think about the entire body of Christ. How if we had all our minds focused on who we are in Christ, at every moment, things would be clicking. But that's the goal. In chapter 10 there, verse 12, think about something else that sometimes is a tendency. You have all these imaginations, you want to cast them down. In chapter 10, verse 12, I don't know if it's like this for you, but sometimes I have a tendency to compare myself against other Christians. I'm not so bad as that guy. Oh, that guy, he's way ahead of me. But look at verse 12. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise to compare yourself to other people. Are we not all members one of another? We are, aren't we? And so I know I have this tendency to compare. It's like, don't compare. Imagine, just cast them out. Think about grace. And sometimes it can feel like it's a daunting, almost impossible task to be able to think about things as clearly as you should. I get nervous sometimes when I read things like Romans chapter 14. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14. I don't always feel comfort when I read this verse. Romans 14, verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And I get nervous. I think, oh no! I don't feel comfort. Think about all your failures and not necessarily how maybe it's gone well. But then, I stop and think about Galatians 2:20. Look at Galatians 2:20. I'm sure most of us have it memorized, but Galatians 2:19-20 starts to make me stop and just go, you know what? I'm not under the law. Romans 6:16-17. I'm not under the law, but under what? I'm under grace. And so I just stop and think, you know what? That brings me comfort. And I think about the judgment seat of Christ. If I'm under grace and not under the law, maybe if I learn how to let that operate in my life, then I'll be able to feel that comfort he talks about. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Maybe that's how it works. Just like Nate was talking about this morning, the peace you feel can only come when you realize you're under grace, not under the law. And when I look at Galatians 2:19, when I recognize that I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. So we talked about that initial salvation. I recognize that Christ's death on the cross was my death. He paid for my sins on the cross. Everything that I ever did wrong and will do is nailed on the cross with Him. God judged it there. But it doesn't say I was crucified with Christ. Kind of weird, huh? It says I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that just kind of, when I read that, I just kind of go, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. It's really comforting to know that God, at that moment when all the world was guilty before God, including me, says, you know what? I'm going to put Jesus on the cross, and it's going to be available to all men, not just to the nation of Israel, but to all of us. And Christ lives in me, and the more I walk by faith, as Ken mentioned this morning, the more I realize that my faith just opens the door for the faith of Christ to do what it's supposed to do in me. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's got an agenda, and He wants to live through you. And I get to be part of that just by faith, walking by faith. Wow, that's pretty cool. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, last week, one of our assembly members said, he was kind of teasing. He said, oh, you're going to preach next week, huh? If you stink, I'm not coming back. He was just joking. I thought, oh, no pressure. We were just kind of joking around. So it kind of made me laugh. I thought all week, I thought, that's funny. You know, that kind of takes the pressure. It's like, yeah, you know, if I get up and I preach the Lord, then I don't have to worry about it. But look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It's important because you think it's about you. It's not about you at all, is it? 2 Corinthians 4. If it's Christ in me and not me, then I can find comfort in that. Comfort can come from knowing that God has made such an amazing provision that He put His Son in me, and if I just study the verses about Him, that He can live through me, I can just find comfort in that. You go, wow, that's... No matter what pressure I'll face, if I know my eternal security was decided the moment I trust the blood of Christ, and as I'm living this life, I stop and think, yeah, not I, but Christ. And just relax and go, hey, he's a pretty capable guy. He took care of things on that cross. He faced that and said, bring it on. Paid for my sins on the cross. Withstood all that. And He lives in me. That same person lives in me. That's pretty comforting. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 5. Back up to verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not who? Not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. If you preach the Lord, then it doesn't matter whether I stink or not, because I know I stink by myself. But the Lord, He doesn't stink. The Lord's amazing. He's the one that we preach, and Him crucified. Now, I know that as an individual, I can get a little nervous and think about, oh, what's going to be like when I give account of myself to the Lord. But you know, you relax about that. You realize you're under grace, not under the law. But we also have a responsibility as a group of believers, corporate responsibility. And the message I want to point out at this point is that don't forget you're not alone. You know, sometimes when I'm at work and I turn the principles there, it's like, ooh, I feel like I'm all alone. I'm not all alone. You're not alone either. We're in this together. We are one in the body of Christ. Might feel like you're alone, but it's not true. I'm sure you feel that way too once in a while. I know that once in a while when I go to the faculty lounge, I didn't used to go that often, but I go now every day, a couple times a day, one during nutrition. We get a little nutrition break, about 15 minutes, and I race to get out of here. I'm racing now, I'm going to meet my friends. And I get a little bit of adult contact. It's just that feeling of, oh, you're going through that too? Yeah, me too. I had a bad day. Yeah, man, I had a great day. Yeah, well, once in a while it goes up and then who cares? It's just giving that some adult contact, getting away from the kids. No offense, kids, but just the idea of that you just need to be around adults once in a while. We as members of the body of Christ are not in it alone. Even when you're out there on the job and you feel alone, you're not alone. You're members one of another. Don't always see it, but that reality is there in God's mind, and He has made us one as members of the body of Christ. Look at Galatians 6, verse 2. He talks about bear ye one another's burdens. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Is that like a mortgage swap thing where I'll pay your bill if you'll pay mine? Is that kind of how that works? Or? I don't think so. Yeah. Has nothing to do with paying your mortgage, does it? What does that have to do with? It has to do with really being there to listen to one another, to pray for one another. It says pray without ceasing. What are you supposed to pray about? Just yourself? You should pray for yourself. Pray that you'll grow, that you'll have more of a desire to study and understand what God's Word says. But pray for one another, too. And as we talk to each other and get to know each other, we start to understand what each other's going through and really have something to pray about during the week. Not to gossip, but to stop and think, you know what? Maybe I'd give somebody a call. Pray for them actively that their spiritual walk would be strengthened. And also incorporate, part of our corporate responsibility is to guard our assembly. Look at Romans 16, verse 17. One way you can bring comfort to the local assembly is to really keep an eye on each other. Make sure we understand clearly what's going on in the gospel of the grace of God. Romans 16, verse 17. You have to watch out for problem situations. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses and avoid them. Is that what it says? No, what does it say? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to what? To the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. What was the doctrine they learned? If you think back to Romans 5, Nate was mentioning that this morning, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Back up even to chapter 3, all the world guilty before God. But now the righteousness of God without the law. Oops, that's a big difference, isn't it? Before that it was law, law, law. Without the law is manifested. Chapter 6, you're dead to the law, dead to the flesh, dead to sin. Chapter 7, dead to the law. Chapter 8, dead to the flesh. You're alive in the God through the Spirit. And all that as a Gentile, how'd that happen? God breaks down the middle wall partition, brings us all together in one body, body of Christ. And to preach that and that alone, as Nate said, people don't always appreciate that. People want to divide. They say, we're dividers. No, we're trying to show that there's oneness in the body of Christ. Just like it says in Ephesians. We're studying there in Ephesians chapter 4. One Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Trying to understand what that means. And from that, getting the comfort that we can get, understanding our oneness in Christ, that we can approach God without any restrictions at all. You can pray to Him at any moment. Don't have to bring a sacrifice. No animal sacrifice. Don't have to worry about that. I have to pray, oh God, forgive my sins. Already forgive me your sin. You're a full-grown member of the body of Christ. You can pray to Him at any time. Pray without ceasing, He says. There's no thing standing in the way. Your eternal destiny is secure. We are members one of another. We're in this together. When I think about the tough time I'm having, the tough time you might be having, you know what? God's grace is sufficient for me, sufficient for you. And we grow closer together and stronger as a body as a result. See what Paul went through? If he can go through that, God's grace is sufficient for him. It's sufficient for me too. I'm not the apostle of Gentiles, but he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he's a pattern, but it's sufficient for me too. I go, you know what? No matter what I go through during the week, I can do everything with a smile on my face, joy in my heart, glory unto God. Because I'll know the plan. I'll understand the plan. That I used to be an enemy of God. If you look in Ephesians 2 and 3 and 4, in through there, we were just completely without Christ in the world, without God, no hope. And yet He's given us a glorious hope, all because of His gift to us, gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He is. That brings comfort and hope to my heart, and I hope it does to your too. Yours too. Mark those that cause divisions and stay away from them. You want to focus on the gospel of the grace of God and do everything you can to help others see that as well. So that they'd be able to experience the comfort that we experience as a local assembly. Is it easy being a part of our local assembly? Not always. Do we have issues? We still have issues. But when you go about it with the comfort of the Scriptures, reminding us that we're members one of another, we're here to support each other, to be strong for each other in the Lord, then it makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it? It's wonderful to know that you can come even just once a week on the internet during the week, anytime you want on our library and listen. Just recognize that all that God has done for us and that you stand for that, stand for the truth and not let anybody get in the way of that. Don't forget, it's a present evil world. Take a look at, let's see here. Another thing that he talked about when he says that contrary to the doctrine they have learned is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We've talked about how there's different laws in the Bible. law of the Ten Commandments? Most people, when you say law, they think Ten Commandments. Most people, when you say baptism, what do they think? Water. There's different kinds of baptisms, different kinds of laws. Romans 8, that first part, he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1 through 4. A lot of Bibles kind of chop parts of these verses out, but those parts are there for a reason. He's talked about some of the things he's done for you in chapter 6. You're dead to sin. Chapter 7, dead to the law. Chapter 8, dead to the flesh. And in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. A lot of Bibles stop right there. They jump over this next part. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's part of that comfort you get as you live, as you understand sanctification, the life you live after your initial salvation, and how that works. If you don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from all that. Do you know that the law gives strength to sin? You ever notice that in 1 Corinthians 15? Where does sin get strength from the law? You want sin to just ignite in your life? Try to live under the law. It's not going to work. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from that. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled by us. Is that what it says? Does it say by us? What does it say? Fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As I connect that with Galatians 2:20, it's not I, but who? Christ that lives in me. As I see my faith grow in those verses about who I am in Christ, and Christ lives in me and takes hold of my life and does what He does naturally, which is do everything the Lord wants, and I recognize it's not me but Christ in me, and that righteousness of the law is fulfilled in me by Christ Himself living through me. It's an amazing privilege. May we continue day by day to understand that more. There's false apostles out there, false, deceitful workers, 2 Corinthians says, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We've got to stand against those kinds of things. No marvel, Satan himself is transformed into what? Remember that verse? An angel of light. He's not some guy with the horns running around, cartoon devil. He's an angel of light. He has ministers of righteousness. You've got to watch out for him. What kind of righteousness do you suppose they're preaching? Self-righteousness. That's going to get you nowhere with the Lord. That's why Christ was put on the cross, because of our righteousness was like filthy rags. So the part of the comfort we can have as a corporate assembly, Romans 15, verse 1 through 6, I heard Ken say this morning, I thought, oh, he knows this verse. We were getting ready to sing, Romans 15, verse 1. Romans 15, 1. As a group, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We talk about that a lot in this assembly. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may, here it is, was what I heard Ken say, with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we grow closer together, we don't just worry about ourselves, the responsibility we have ourselves, it's that we're in this together as members of the body of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10, 11 says, we forgive each other. If there's any problems, you forgive. You don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We understand that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, living soberly, righteously and godly in this present age. Even though it's an evil one, God's grace will teach you how to live the right way so you can have the comfort knowing that what you're doing is pleasing to the Lord. Look at Romans 13, verse 14. This is a amazing verse. Romans 13, verse 14. He's talked about all the things that you should do and should not do in the previous verses. And he says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing sounding. How do you put on the Lord? Take that mind that he had in Philippians. We have the mind of Christ. Put that in your mind. And that is, in essence, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Look at chapter 15, verse 13. Where else can we find comfort? How else can God comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and work? Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You're not in this by yourself, folks. It's not just you having to give account of yourself to the Lord someday. It's not just we as members of the body of Christ. The Holy Ghost Himself lives inside you. He is your seal. He is your strength. Christ is our peace. We've got all these things based in the Lord Jesus Christ and His plan. And He's made us one with Him and one with each other. It says, when we go back to our initial verse there, 2 Thessalonians, turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 one more time. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. If what you need is comfort today, there's only one place you're going to find it. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and His plan. We preach Christ crucified. The Jews stumble at that. The Greeks think, you're crazy. He takes the weak things of the world, 1 Corinthians 1. That's me. I'm weak. When I'm weak, then am I strong. He's made into me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, 1 Corinthians 1, he says. And he says, if you're getting glory, glory in the world. Lord, why not? That's where all those things are. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. It's all in Him. So glory in Him. That makes sense now. We're laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God's a master builder, isn't He? And I'm part of that building. So are you. Who's the chief cornerstone? Who's the foundation? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When you think about the things we preach, they're pretty simple, aren't they? There's simplicity in Christ. Some of the things we talk about sound so complicated, but it all goes back to all that Christ has done for us. And understanding that connection we have through faith in the blood of Christ. Don't turn to this, but 2 Corinthians 13, 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. You're in amazingly good hands. That triune God is on your side. If God is for us, who can be against us? God forbid that I should glory, save where? In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Galatians 6. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Which world is that, Paul? The present evil world. It's like Nate was saying this morning. Present evil world. I am crucified to the world. The world is crucified unto me. It's a non-issue, God says. And you look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, one last time. 2 Thessalonians 2. If it's God who's working in me to will and do of His good pleasure, then when it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now I don't feel so inadequate. Because I know I've got the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Christ lives in me. Communion of the Holy Ghost. I've got God's Word here. Nothing can stop me from bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if I end up in prison just like Paul did. Even if I end up with cancer. Even if I end up with... You fill in the blank. Nothing can stop me. Each day I have been given and will be given to bring glory and honor to His plan. It's just going to be glory from here on out. That's just talking about now. We're talking about out in the future. Spending eternity together. Not just today. This is light affliction, like Nate said this morning. It's just for a while. Hang in there. Don't get discouraged. Keep your eyes on the prize. The glory that is to follow. It's light affliction, which is about for a moment, works for you. You might not think you have a small business. You got a small business. You know that? You got workers. All those problems you have, they're working for you. Small, it's light affliction. Those things are working for you. You don't even have to fill out a tax form. They're working for you. You got workers. Let them work. Let those things not get you down, but keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do in and through you. And it's all to the glory of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Hey, Father, thanks for this time we had this morning, and I just pray that we'd be able to keep our eyes on Your grace. Thanks for putting us under grace, not under the law. That's a wonderful asset that we have. May we take full advantage of it during the week, and just remember to pray for one another, call each other, email each other. Just keep each other in our prayers, and just recognize our oneness in Christ. You've not left us without the tools that we need. Help us to recognize the honor we have in Christ. Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith we can, with which we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and their fire, they sting. But it's just all part of the light affliction that we face. Help us to be strong in You and the love You've shown to us. Help us to extend that to each other during the week. Praise in Christ's name. Amen.